okay, tell me what you're talking about. The answer's no, probably, anyway, but tell me what you're talking about, and maybe we can. Okay. Up here, are you talking about one of the assignments?
Like, the assignment that we did last class.
Okay, the one you did was the in-class logic one we did all the way through last class. So I thought we had gone over that, but if you have any questions, if it's this one, no, I'm not going to go over that one, because I want you to try to deal with that for four. And it's not due until Thursday, so I don't want to go over that. So if you're talking about this one, I'm not going to touch that until it's been passed in. Okay? If you're talking about this one, I went over it, so if you go back and look at the PowerPoints, hopefully it's there. Okay, there's a attendance sheet floating around. So, you can sign up and then bring it up to me. If you figure out what you specifically want, we can at the end, because I'm going to be having you work on something, and then I can help you with something that's a problem, okay? Okay, so we're going to look at the presentation on structure, focus on loops, which is in week four. And so we're going to open that. I was overly optimistic about how far we were going to go, so here we are. Okay, so you've heard me say this before, and I'm saying it again. If your language is going to be considered a programming language, it has to involve three structures. Sequence, which means do this, then do this, then do this. Selection, which is a decision. And looping, iteration, repetition, whatever you want to call it, which are loops. Last week we looked at conditions, so this time we're going to start looking at the loops and the iteration. Okay, so the first example is what I call a do while loop, and it is showing the structure for that. Go ahead, question?
No, I think I found a different PowerPoint.
Okay, go and get the one that says presentation on structure, focus on loops. It's in week four. Okay, the one that says presentation on structure, focus on loops. And it is in week four. Okay? So, here I have a condition. And the condition is being asked to determine whether or not to process. So, I can never enter the loop. Depending on what the question is, I may never enter the loop. If I ask the question and I get a no, then I'm out of there without going in the loop. Okay? The condition can be checking a count. It can be checking to see if you've read all of the records. And so if you had an empty file where you didn't have any records to read, and you asked, is it end of file, is it not end of file? Well, it is end of file, so I'd take the no and I'd get out if there weren't any records to read. So I can exit if the condition gets a no answer. Okay. So, on the whole, though, what I do is I do the condition, and check the condition memo. And if it's a yes, I process. And then I go back and check the condition again. And if it's still a yes, I process. And then I go back and check the condition again. And if it's still a yes, I process. And I do that for as many times as it makes sense to do it. If I have 100,000 records and I'm reading a record every time, I'm going to do it 100,000 times. Okay? And luckily, it's the computer that's doing it, not me. So it's going to go through that loop 100,000 times.
It usually
doing it until it says no. Until it runs out of records, if that was my condition. If my condition is process, if you've got a record. And when you run out of records, get out. Then I will get out after I've done the 100,000. But if I try to read a file that has no records in it, I will get out immediately because there are no records to read. Okay? Then there's another kind of loop. Come on, you can do it. And I don't quite know why it's not coming back. There it is. Okay, there's another kind of loop in the next screen that is sometimes called a do until. And in this one, I do the processing, and then I check to see if I should do it again. So I always do it. I always process at least once. Because I do the processing, and then I check to see if I should do it again. Okay, so if I'm reading records, I read a record, and then I process it, and then I go and check the condition, and if there's no more records, then I am done. But essentially, I do whatever processing is concerned, which might include reading a record. And then if there are no more records, I get out, but if there are records, I go back and I process. But because the processing is before I check, I will always process at least once. Okay, because I process check, process check, process check. So I will always do it at least once. Where in the other one, I did the checking before I processed ever. So I always checked before I did any processing. Here I process and then check. So I'll always do it at least once. And programmers have the option to write their code to take advantage of either of these kinds of loops, depending on what seems to be appropriate. Okay, so for example, I have here I'm reading a file of records, we'll say, and I have an initializing read, which is a very popular way of setting things up. You do an initial read of the first record, and that gives you something. So if the read was successful, then it is not going to be in the file. If the read is not successful, it will be in the file, and I'll drop out and stop, which is what I mean by I may never process. If I attempt a read, it's not successful, I drop out and stop. But if I attempt to read and it is successful, then it's not in the file. So then I process, and then before I go back, the last thing I do is read the second record. So I read the second record, I go back, as long as the second record had a record in it, I check, it's not in the file, so I process, and I attempt to read a third record. If I'm successful, I go back, when I get back here, it's not in the file, so I process and read again. And I keep going through this loop over and over again until finding when this read is not successful. And when that read is not successful, I go back and it is in the file, so I drop out. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. So the next question is, I'm starting out and I've got a counter. And I want to count how many I do things, how many times. So I've got a start point, and I'm making my start point one. And I've got a stop point, and I'm making my stop point five. And then I have a counter. And these are all set up in memory. So I'm starting out and I say, set the counter to be equal to the start point. So I put a one over here, and I'm setting it to be equal to the start point. And my question is the counter less than the stop point? Yes, it is, the stop point is five. So it is. So I process, and then I increment the counter. Okay, which is very much the same as reading. Okay, I'm doing something to make a change. So I process, I increment the counter, and it's now up at two, and I go back. Is counter less than the stop point? Yes, it is. So I process, increment the counter, and go back. Is counter less than the stop point? Yes. So I process, increment the counter, go back. Is counter less than? Yeah. So I process, increment the counter, and go back. And now what? That's right. Now I do the no. Counter is no longer less than the stop point. So I take the no and do whatever the no leads me to. It might be stopping or it might mean something else. But whatever the no leads me to, I'm done with the loop. And that's the important thing, is that I'm done with the loop. Okay. So the next one that I'm looking at is the process before. Now on this one, I checked for not equal. Okay, there's a whole lot of checking I can do. I can do less than, I can do greater than, I can do equal, I can do not equal. I can do less than or equal to, greater than or equal to. There's a whole lot of testing that I can do. So this time I said not equal. So I've got again my start point, which I am setting at one, and my stop point, which I again will set at five. So now I'm coming in and it says put a start point into counter. So counter is now a one. So I now process the record. After I process it, I increment the counter. I'll process whatever it is I'm doing. Process might just be doing a calculation. I increment the counter. Is the counter not equal to stop point? No, it's not equal, so I go back. I process, do whatever it is I'm doing. Increment the counter. Is it not equal to stop point? It's not equal, so I go back. So I process again. Increment the counter. It's not equal, so I go back. I process, I increment the counter. This time they're equal. When I go back, sorry about that, I increment the counter, and the counter is not equal. It is equal, so I drop out. They ask the question, is the counter not equal? It is equal, so I drop out. The counter is equal to stop point, so I'm done. Now again, initialize the counter outside a loop to a specific start point. So counter equals whatever my start point is. Increment the counter inside the loop. In both examples, I did that. Test the counter to determine whether or not the loop again. So I have a control, and that control is counter. So I initialize it outside. I change it every pass through the loop. And I end when counter hits a certain point. So counter is my control. It is controlling how I process. And I start it out before I start the loop. I change it or increment it inside the loop. And then I test the counter to determine whether or not the loop began. Okay? So that's how that works. Okay. So, questions? Yeah.
So, there's a specific point where you have to like find the stop point after like loop countering it.
I'm checking it in my decision as to whether I want to do the loop again. I establish stop point at some point, and it's not in the flowchart, but I establish both start and stop point. And I basically am checking to see if the counter is equal to it or not. And if it's equal to it, I'm done. If it's not equal, then I try again. And the last one, I did a less than test. This one, I decided to do an equal test just to show you that you can do whatever test works for you. So what we're going to do today is, and I think I captured that, but I'm not sure. We're going to go through a PowerPoint that I have up there as homework. Before I do that, however, because when you're done with the PowerPoint, you can leave, I'm going to quickly talk about the test that's out there. This is a test, a quiz, or whatever you want to call it. It counts the same as a complex homework assignment. Okay, so it's a test. So I start out and I've got a flowchart here and I've got a problem and I said assume the following. So I said assume that the memory variable count is set to 1. So I have a memory variable called count. Assume that the memory variable code is set to an A, and assume that the memory variable cost is set to 25. So I come to this flowchart and I say, is the code equal to A? Is it? Yes. So I take the yes branch. Is cost greater than 50?
No.
So I take the no. And the no says, take count and make it equal to count minus 1. So subtract 1. So count is now a 0. Because I said take count, subtract 1 from it, and put it back in count. So count is now a 0. So the question is, after following the logic, what will be in the memory variable count? It will be a 0. So that is a 0, and then you go on to the next one and work on the next one. Okay, then some of the problems in here are going to be, or a lot of them, are along this lines, where I said, okay, in the next section, I want to tell you me what pseudocode actually portrays the logic. So I am saying here, I drew a flowchart for you. Now tell me, does this pseudocode match the flowchart? Is the logic the same down here as it is up there? And that's what I'm asking on a whole lot of these examples, is to look at that and tell me if the pseudocode matches the flowchart. And there are, so if I'm saying assume, then I'm looking for an answer. So down here again, I'm back to the assume BCC, assume mass, and then tell me what will be the message after we finish the flowchart. So in some of them, I'm telling you to assume something In others, I'm asking if the logic and the flowchart and the pseudocode are the same. And I believe there are 25 problems. Okay? So that is your first test, actually.
Okay. And again, it counts the same as a homework assignment. Homework assignments count a lot. A major homework assignment, not a checkoff homework assignment. But the one they're actually going to do in class, it counts the same as that.
Email you for the daughter.
Pardon me?
Yes. Yeah.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
You email me the answers, right? Okay, it should just be a list of answers. Okay. If you find that there's one where you are perplexed and have a question, you can either ask me the question or you can write in the answer. If you meant this, this is the answer. If you meant that, this is the answer, or whatever, you know, whatever you need to clarify. Okay, any other questions on that? It's due October 12th, which gives you basically 9 days. Okay, this one is an assignment, but we're going to do it in class today. And if you get through it, that's fine. If you don't, you'll have to finish it up at home. So, what I've got here is I've got a file of data. And along the top line, I put what the fields were, item number, item name, on hand, on order, reorder point, cost, price, and vendor number. And here I have a whole load of records. And after I hit Elm, I'm at end of file, because that's the last record in the file. So after I've processed Elm, I'm in end of file. So on the first question, I said, okay, initializing read of a record. So I'm going to read the first record, okay? And I read, is it not end of file? No, it's not end of file. So I'm going to go and calculate the profit. And I set up there, profit is the difference between price and cost. So price on oak is $95.89. The cost is $70. So it's going to be $25.89. So the profit is $25.89. So I'm going to write out, set up the line for the report. That means get it ready. I don't actually have to do anything there. I'm going to write the line. And the line said I want the item number, which is 1234. I want the item name, which is oak. I want the price, which is $95.89. I want the cost, which is $75. And I want, it is $75. I wrote $70 up here. Oops. So it's minus 75, which is 2089. And so I'm now going to write over here 2089. So after I've written the line, it says read a record. So I read the next record. And the next record is for Red Maple. And when I calculate the profit here, it is $117.99 minus $100, so it's $17.99. So I read the record, I came back, it wasn't end of file. I calculate the profit, I set up the line and write it. 1212, Red Maple, $117.99. $117.99. And then I go and read the next record. And I process these records sequentially. I process them one at a time sequentially. So the output will be in the same order as the records are, because I'm reading the next record and processing them sequentially. Okay? So you are playing computer, and you are going to do this. This is not being done in Access or anything else. You're just playing computer and doing it in your head, and then coming up with the answer. Okay. The next one asks you to evaluate whether this is the same. Okay, and I'll give you a clue. You basically are saying if it's not in the file, go process. And in process, I'm doing these four things. When I end process, I'm coming back. So those four things are the same things that I did in the previous slide. It's just I put them over in a module. Okay, and then they start to get a little more complicated, but only slightly. In this one, I'm asking you to read a record, so you read Oak. Not in the file, go to process. Is on hand greater than 25? No. So if I take the no branch, I don't write anything out, right? I just read the next record. So I'm only going to be writing out if on hand is greater than 25. So the report is going to be a list of people where on hand is greater than 25, yeah.
How do you know if it's in the file or not?
If it's what?
How do you know if it's in the file or not?
Well, these are all, here's the file.
Okay,
so when I say read a record, I'm reading Oak, which is the first record. And I process it according to what I say in process, which is check on hand greater than 25. If it is, write out the line. If it's not, do nothing. And then read another record. So I move down to the next record, which is Red Maple. So every time it says read a record, I move to the next one. After I've processed Elm, when I read the next record, that tells me it's in the file. So after I've processed Elm, there are no more records, so I attempt to read, it gets me the end of file signal. When I read, it gets me the end of file signal. So it is end of file and I stop. But that list of trees there, I obviously must have been buying trees from my backyard when I saw that when I did this one. But anyway, that list of trees is my file.
Like, is this what happens in, like, the computer?
Absolutely.
Like, is that, like, the code, like the answer?
Absolutely, like what happens. And, you know, I've got the logic here. I don't have it in the code. As of Thursday, we're going to start learning code.
Yeah, that's the
and
part.
And then we'll start taking these logic flowcharts and converting them to code and actually running them in the computer and getting the result. But right now, we're doing what I call playing a computer and being pretending with the computer, and this is what the computer would do.
Yeah, like, no, when you change it over to code, that's the part that, like, where I get lost. I understand this fully, but once, like, we've got caught, like...
No, you'll be fine. I'm gonna make it clear to
you.
We're going to do JavaScript first, which is an absolute total pain in the neck. So, yes.
You said on hand is greater than 25. And this, now, what is this? Now, if you're talking about greater than 25, which item name are you talking about specifically?
The one that I just read. Okay, quiet, please. The one that I just read. So my first read reads Oak. So the first time through, I'm checking to see if Oak has them on hand greater than 25.
Okay.
Then my next time through, it's Red Maple. And I'm checking to see if Red Maple has an on hand greater than 25. And my next time through, it's whatever.
Okay,
Sugar
sorry,
maple.
Curious.
Okay?
Sorry.
So, for the rest of the time, you are going to basically do this assignment such that you can ask questions of Eric and I I want everybody to do it individually, but if you want to, when you've got your answer, check and see if the person sitting near you got the same answer, that's fine. But I want you to do it individually. Okay? So, when the mark gets set, go.
Wait, what specifically?
That assignment.
So, do you want it on paper?
Yes. I don't want paper, no, I never want paper. So, send me an email. I would do it on the paper, or do it in a Word document or whatever, but I want it via an email when you send it to me. So, either do it in Word, do it in, some people do it in Excel, do it in paper and scan it as long as I can read it. Sometimes scans are a little iffy. No, no, you're fine. Nothing to say. Yes, one of them, but not that one. That's that one. That's right. What is which what?
Number three. Can we use the flowchart for the prompt at all?
Yes. In fact, you have to use the flowchart. Because you're reading a record, so you're reading oak. Every time when you start out, you're reading oak. So that's the initializing read, reads oak. It's not in the file, so you process. So you come over here and you say, okay, is the on-hand for oak greater than 25? And the answer is no. So therefore you take the no branch and you do nothing, and then you read another record.
So we're not going to use the ones with less than 25?
Exactly.
So it's just going to be over 25 doing over 25?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Wait, does it have to be in order, like price, cost, or cost and price?
I think I said price, cost, but I don't think I can.
All right.
So, I won't make you redo that if you've got